Experience need to hear from you. And I pray the Lord that your spirit will share with us what you have for us to know. I yield myself to you now, God, and ask that you have your way. I yield my members, this vessel unto you. Speak, O Lord, your children are listening. We need you. Lord, I pray today that at the end of this worship encounter, that some soul will be saved, some destiny will be altered. Some spirit will be encouraged, and that we'll understand we got the victory in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We bid you good morning in the name of like any other name. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. To all of our ministers that are here and to all of our leaders, all of you, my Father's children that are here and online, we thank God for your presence today. This is the day the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. We thank God for our music ministry blessing us this morning. Set the atmosphere for worship. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, I invite you to join me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 32. The Lord has led us to share this word with you today. Genesis chapter number 32. God bless you today. Genesis chapter 32, first book of the Bible. We want to commence reading verse number 22 and a few of the following. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse number 22. Are you there? The word of God reads thusly. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. God bless you. Grass withers and the flowers fade thereof. Word of our God shall stand forever. You want to tag this text this morning. There's a blessing in the wrestling. There's a blessing in the wrestling. I need you to know today that God is omniscient. I mean, God is all-knowing. And God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. We know that he's also omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. With that being said, I take comfort today, and I pray that you do as well, that God does know the plans that he has for all of us. To know today that you have a pulse in your body, lets you know that you still have purpose. For if your purpose was fulfilled, you would not still have a pulse. So every time that you feel your pulse, no matter if it's slow, fast, or normal, you can still glorify the fact that there is a purpose for your life. People may not have a purpose for you. People may not have a plan for you, but there's a God who has a plan for you, flaws and all. God is so much God that God will use your sin to bring about his glory. God is so much of a God, he'll use your shortcomings to still bring about his glory. That God does not need you and I to be perfect in order for him to get the glory from our lives. Yet God is so much God, God has a way that he wants to develop us to be what he wants us to be. And it's often a struggle or a wrestling match that you and I are in. And the truth of it is this morning, if y'all allow me to, and don't fire me, you're really not fighting with the devil today. Most of us in this room are fighting with the Lord. Because the Lord has a plan and a purpose for your life. But most of us want to do things our way. Most of us have a way we figure this thing ought to go, and we just simply don't want to do it. There's a way God wants to comply. He wants us to comply with something. There's a will God has for our life. And God will allow you and I seasons of wrestling with him. And you will think that you have won. And before it's all over with, you realize that you've got to submit and succumb to the power of the Most High God. You can call it running from him. You can call it avoiding him. You can stay away from church. You can stay away from the Bible. You can not pray. You can get into it with people. You can blame it on the preacher. You can blame it on the church. You can blame it on the deacon. You can blame it on the choir. You can blame it on the seat. You can blame it on the air or the heat. You can blame it on this or that. But at the end of the day, most of us in this room and online are wrestling with God.
It's because God has a will for us. God knows some things he wants us to do, and God has told us what he wants us to do. And the truth be told, you just don't want to do it. And but what I love about God, he's so merciful and gracious that God doesn't get rid of you. God doesn't evaporate you. God does not destroy you. And now God just keeps giving us day after day of wrestling matches. When you think that you're getting away and doing what you want to do, he lets you feel pretty comfortable about getting him told and getting people told. He lets you have choices to do what you want to do as long as you want to do it. And he's still right there wrestling with you. God has a plan for us. God does not, whether you know it or not, God does not just want to bless you externally, but God more importantly wants to bless you internally. God has a divine plan for your spirit and for your heart. God has kept you here not just for you to have a good house, have a nice car, and to have a comfortable standard of life. God has kept you and I here that we might tell other people about the goodness of God. Now, the truth of it is today is that most of our lives, God's plans for us goes beyond what we can see. Goes beyond what we can envision, goes beyond what we can understand. And because of that, we often fight it. We often wrestle. We often struggle. You're struggling with the fact that God has said for you to go right, and you just keep wanting to go left. God has said for you to go up, but you just determined to go down. It's not that most of us in this room don't know right from wrong. At the end of the day, we just don't want to do what's right, and we'd rather do what is wrong. And God said, okay, the longer you fight with me, the longer you struggle me, that don't mean I'm going away. I'm still going to be there. The longer your struggle, the longer God's going to be there with you. Somebody today, everybody in this church, the truth be told, you didn't come to Christ at 8 years old. You didn't come to the Lord in Sunday school. You didn't come to the Lord in vacation Bible school. Some of y'all came to the Lord in the alley. Some of y'all came to him in a prison cell. Some of y'all came to him in the worst moment of your life because you were in a struggle. But aren't you glad today that God will find you and meet you and bless you no matter where you are, that the plans for your life outweigh the troubles you're in. The plans and the purpose God has for your life outweigh your very sin. Somebody ought to got happy about that. That when God has a plan for your life, it goes beyond what you and people have labeled you to be. Right. Our text this morning takes us to this familiar patriarch in the book of Genesis. His name was Jacob. Jacob means supplanter or trickster. Now, as I teach this today, let me say that Jacob ain't the only trickster I'm talking to today. Because a lot of us, all of us in this room, in the true Pito, got some trickster in us. Some of us got some crook in us. Some of us got some stuff in us that we want our own way. From very birth, he was fighting, before born, fighting with his twin brother Esau in their mother Rebekah's womb. He's fighting, and so much so that when Esau was born first, we find Jacob grabbing at his heel because he's still trying to trick, still trying to get, and still trying. And from birth, he was a trickster. By nature, we are tricksters. By nature, we just think we are slick. I'm going to say that again until I feel happy. Most of us in this room with these suits on, these dresses and blouses, we look very devout. We look very pious this morning. But underneath that is some crooked stuff. Underneath what you got on is a crook. It's you something else. You got some trickster in you. You kind of shysty. You kind of sometimey. You kind of selfish. You're only thinking about you. Because we got some worldliness in us. But thanks be to God that God has a plan. God knew how he's going to work this thing out to show us a lesson today. Jacob, from the very birth, was at the heel of his brother. But God has sent a blessing. And one thing I love about Jacob's life and how the Lord handled Jacob, that you're working yourself too hard. That what God has for you, you don't have to trick folks to get. If I don't say anything else today, I want to say that to you, that when God has a plan for your life and God has a purpose, you don't have to make other people look bad in order for you to look good. You don't have to tear other people down to build yourself up. I wish Jacob would have got that in Genesis, and I wish we would get that today in November, that I don't have to make other folks look bad and set folks up and plot and trap and be all low down. Whatever God has for me, I promise you, it is for me. God knows where you live. God knows your address. He knows the number of hairs on your head, that you don't have to set nobody up in order for him to bless you. Jacob doesn't understand that. So Jacob thinks he needs to use some tricks. Ingenuity, street smarts to get his way. A lot of this stuff was facilitated because we understand, if you understand the story, that he tricked his brother out of his birthright. He tricked them out of his birthright. Now, understand that God said, now, according to what was normal, the elder got the blessing. But God had already said that the younger is going to have the blessing, and the older is going to serve the younger. But when you're not tied into what God, but you're tied into what man does, you'll try to create God's will instead of accepting God's will. You'll try to create avenues, and God has already made a way. Somebody in this house this morning is working too hard trying to create a life and trying to create a way, and God says to you this morning, I've already made a way, but you won't trust me. You won't try me in my word. You keep trying to figure it out yourself. You keep trying to open your own doors, and God said, I already made one. He tricks his own twin brother out of his blessing. Then he tricks his brother again twice with the help of his mother, Rebecca, of the father's blessing. Because Isaac was blessing, and he pretended to be hairy like his brother Esau and got the blessing again. You know, sometimes family can be your problem. Sometimes folk can help you get, sometimes you can spoil people too much that they start thinking life should be like that. And some of us are raising up tricksters. We're raising up sons to be no good. We're raising daughters to be no good because we think whatever we want is what the world wants. But guess what? You might be a prince at the house, but you ain't no prince everywhere. Sometimes you got to live a world. You got to go to work like everybody else. You might be the cat's meow and the dog's bow wow at home, but in this world, you need to be an employee. You need to be a person. You need to know how to live, and you ain't all that everywhere. But to Rebecca, he was the favorite. And so he, when word gets out that he done tricked them, now Esau hates his brother. Esau's after Jacob now. Now, Jacob, if you wanted it so bad, my question to Jacob, if I could ask him, I would ask him, why'd you run? If you got what you wanted, why you running? If you got what you were after, if you were tricked as much as a trickster as you think you are, why did you run? His mother tells him to run to his uncle Laban's house, and he spends about 20 years now working and tricking again. Creating tricks. He works for 7 years for what he thought was going to be Rachel. But here's the thing about tricksters. There are other tricksters you're going to deal with. His uncle Laban was a trickster. So his uncle Laban tricks him. Lord, I wish I had a witness here. He goes to work for Rachel. He falls in love with Rachel, but Uncle Laban had a trick for him. Work 7 years and you can get her. He wake up that next morning, there go Leah. Well, if you work another 7 years, then I'll give you Rachel. He works another 7 years. And finally does get Rachel, then maintains and works another 6 or 7 years, 20 years away from where he's supposed to be. God still orders Jacob's steps. He's still with him while he's tricking his way through life. There ought to be somebody else's testimony here today that you ought to be able to tell the truth. It is not your street smarts. You're not that brilliant. You're not that cute. You're not that handsome. You're not that connected. It's been God protecting you because you weren't able to protect yourself. Don't you know that for every crook, there's somebody who's a little more crooked? That you didn't write the book on being crooked? Crooks have been around for a long time, and crooks go stay here. But God has been preserving you to keep you and I here for his divine purpose. He works for Laban, and he ends up tricking him and Laban, his uncle, work out this deal. And they work out a deal, and they both trying to trick each other. There's no trust when you got tricks all around. That's what's wrong with the church today. That's why we don't trust each other, because we're so busy tricking each other. We're so busy not showing the real you. I'm showing the abracadabra. Everything is a magic act. I'm not showing you the real you. That's why there's no trust for God. That's why there's no trust for God's people, because all of us in here crooks try to out-crook one another. That's not my sermon today. That's not my sermon today, but I really wish I could stay there. That's what's wrong with some of us this morning. That's why we ain't got no praise. That's why we ain't got no joy. That's why we ain't got no victory, because your plot didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work. They didn't die yet. They still got a praise. They still in the house of God, and you don't know what happened to your trick. Your trick didn't work. Your crookedness didn't work, and now they still prospering. They still living. They still functioning, and you don't know what to do with yourself because your plan didn't work. Instead of learning how to love each other, we're trying to trick each other, trying to fool each other, trying to upset one another, trying to replace one another, trying to upend one another instead of just lifting one another, helping one another. This is not just your father-in-law, this is your uncle, but y'all too busy trying to trick each other. Now there's no trust, but there's a business deal. And now Jacob uses some street smarts again and finds a way to make himself richer. make himself wealthy on his way back home. Now he decides that he wants to leave Laban. He wants to leave now because he's in better shape leaving than he is when he got there. He's got wives, he's got handmaids, he's got Bilha and Zilpha, he's got Rachel and Leah, and got all these children. He's got some cattle, he's got some ewes, he's got some lamb, he got some goats. He is a wealthy man. He's got stuff, but he still don't have the blessing. You tricked your way into stuff, but God says, just accept what I want to give you in a blessing. That's why some of us ain't happy. We think that you call yourself blessed because you got the house, you got the car, you got the man, you got the woman, but you still ain't got a praise. You still don't have a shout. You know why? Because you thought that God is not tied into stuff. God is tied into your heart. You thought that you were going to be blessed because you had some stuff, but God don't come to give you stuff. God come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Jacob says, well, I want to get back home now because I got some unfinished business. But Laban don't want to let him go because he's good for business. And so tricksters trying to out-trick one another, how do you end the trick deal? And so Laban don't want to just lose because he's not just losing a son-in-law, he's losing money. And he feel like Jacob done messed him over. And now he goes after him. And now when they meet each other, he says, look here, we're going to set up a monument here. He said, and now we've used this, and I'm going to teach this real quick. We've used this as a dismissal for church. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. You know, we've used that to close our church service. That's not what Laban and Jacob did. When they said, may the Lord watch, that meant, Lord, keep me here. Lord, keep him there. Because if we get across this line, we're going to kill each other. You are not closed church like that. You are not closed church saying, if they cross the line with me, I'm going to kill them. If they come to my side, I come to their side, one of us ought to die. That's not originally what that was meant to be. Now, Jacob realizes he's got some unfinished business. He's got stuff, but he got to get back home. We understood now in the earlier chapters that he had this moment with the Lord at a place called Bethel. That's when he first found the Lord. He had the dream of climbing the ladder and was blessed of God, and God showed him himself at Bethel. Jacob he knows God. He has met the Lord at Bethel, yet he still wants to be a trickster. Isn't it amazing how all the church you and I get, all the Bible we read, all the songs we sing, all the necklaces we wear, all the robes we adorn ourselves with, we still want to go to what's comfortable. Most of us in this room, and the truth be told, when problems come, we don't do what the Lord say do. We do what's natural. Okay. Most of us go still do what's natural. You go shout in here today, and time you leave, matter of fact, some of us, before we even leave out of here, when somebody cross you the wrong way, you not going to say, well, God bless you anyway. You're going to do what's natural. But God says, I call you to be different today. God said, my plan. Isn't it amazing how Jacob, throughout this whole 20-year journey, Jacob think that he's running, he's calling the shots. He think he's pulling the strings. And I understand today because the Lord is talking to all of us who are like Jacob, who are a bunch of control freaks, who think that you just got to run it, you just got a way that you think this thing ought to go, you got a way you feel like this thing ought to be, just shouldn't seem like it ought to be like that. You spending all your time reckoning and believing and figuring and reasoning, and God say, I ain't studying your reasoning, I ain't studying your reckoning, I ain't studying your figuring, I know what I'm going to do with you. And when you get tired of fighting me, you go come on in. Here it is today, y'all. On his way back, he knows he's got to face his brother Esau. Now, he's got all this stuff, but he's still got a void on the inside. Because he knows he has to go face this brother that he did wrong. He's got to get back to his promised place, but on the way to a promised place, he got to deal with a process. Lord, have mercy. Because all the stuff in the world don't make me happy until I get back to where God wants me to be. Because you done got stuff, haven't you? And you still ain't happy. You got stuff, still not sleeping at night. It's because you're on a journey to get where God wants you and not where you want to be. Because you and I have got to reason to something today. We got to get it. We got to get this. You got to face it. You can't shout your way out of stuff. You got to face. You can't preach your way out of stuff. You got to face. You can't church your way out of stuff. You got to face. God will keep giving you all kind of provisions, and you still got to face the things you've done. He knows he's on the journey back to find Esau, but he's a trickster. And Esau has gotten mad. He sent some messengers out and said, try to find out, kind of fill out Esau. He sends some messengers out to his brother, say, he even goes as far as say, not your brother, but your servant. Jacob is coming. He wants to know, you know, he wants to bless you. He wants to help you. Please don't kill him. He sends messengers out, and Esau, I guess, tell the messengers, I'm coming for him. Because Esau has 400 men with him. Only so anytime Esau or somebody got a crew with him, it's probably not to have a peace treaty. It's probably not to have a tea party. When you got 400 offended people with the leader who's been offended and hurt and been tricked, chances are we're not coming to have a picnic. Jacob knows it. So what he does, while he decides to strategically take all this stuff and divide it into two sections and put some space between his possessions. That way, if Esau attacked one group, the other group might have a chance to survive. Just tricks, just plots. Instead of just saying, Lord, help me to get this thing right with my brother, he's saying, Lord, keep me protected so that nothing happened to me or my stuff. So God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get him somewhere to this place called Jabbok. I'm going to get him to Jabbok, and that's where he and I are going to have a sit-down meeting. Because I'm getting ready to bless him in the wrestling. Because here it is, y'all. He sends his family, his goods. He sends them all over across the brook. And the Bible says, here it is today. Now, what I gave you was really point number one. All I gave y'all was point number one. Desperate circumstances. Sound pretty desperate, doesn't it? He in trouble. He's rich, wealthy, but he in trouble. Because he still owes his brother for what he did to him. He's afraid. He's frightened. He's concerned. But he's in a desperate situation. So much so that he's doing everything in his power to protect himself and his stuff. I'm going to try that again. He's doing everything in his power. He didn't pray before he divided everybody up. He prayed after. Isn't that like us? You try to fix it your way first, and then when that don't work, Lord help. That's most of us in this room. You try to do it yourself, then when it's done made a bigger mess, Lord help. He told you to pay your tithes and give your offering and trust me and save, but you blew it. He said, then you say, Lord help. Instead of when you first got it the first of the month, Lord help me to manage this. But you make the mess and then say, Lord help. You shoot back because they shot at you and you shoot them and you land. Then you say, Lord, help me. Instead of saying, Lord, keep my anger down. Don't let me hurt them. Don't let me do nothing to jeopardize myself or my family. And then you say, Lord, help. Most of us in this room, a lot of us in this room got that same problem. We are reactive people instead of responsive people. And so Jacob, because he's a trickster, he goes to what's normal. He goes to what he knows he can do, and that's trick. It's no plot. Set up a strategy just to make it to get by. That's what hurts me right now about this moment. That's what's difficult about this moment, that all this we're going through, all this we're preaching, some of you all will still make the decision, I'm going to make it the best way I know how. And God never told you to make it any kind of way. He says, trust me. And most of us are still going to go do what we think is necessary just to get by. Here it is. It's a desperate circumstance. So he sends his family on over. And the Bible says it's nighttime. He sent them at night because in daytime everybody can see. Tricks are normally done when nobody can see. Plots are normally planned behind closed doors in the darkness where nobody can see what you plotting, what you planning, and your strategy. I'll preach by myself. That's all right. Y'all can go to sleep. Y'all can pass out. I'm going to preach till the Lord get through. You will do all you do in the dark Because in the dark, you don't think nobody can see you. But God has x-ray vision. God has night vision. And God can see you. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care who you're plotting with. The Lord sees, the Lord knows, and the Lord hears. Jacob feels like at nighttime, I can send them, and then nobody can find me. It's nighttime. Nobody can see me. Nobody can find me. I'm so smart. Look how smart Jacob is. I'm doing this at a time where ain't nobody gonna be looking for me. They can't find me because it's dark. So let me go and send my people over, and I'm gonna have some time with the Lord. Let me go and send them over. That way it's nighttime. Can't nobody find them. Can't nobody find me. I know I'm all right at the nighttime. Because when it's nighttime, nobody can see my plots and nobody can see my plan. Daytime is when it all come out, but nighttime is when it all got started. I know I'm talking good here now because some stuff, we done had some nighttime dark conversation. We've had some backdoor meetings. We had some backdoor plans on people that nobody knows but you, them, and the Lord. But God comes to sound the alarm. I heard it, I saw it, and I know what I'm about to do. You know what I love about God, though? Here's what God does. Here's what God does. God say, you set it up in the nighttime here, Jacob. I'm finna come to you in the nighttime. I'ma try again. You plotting at night. I'm coming to you at night. Oh, Lord. And then look what he did. Not just at night, but the Bible says when he got him by himself. Oh, man. This is a hard day today. Hard day. Not just at night when he plotting. The same night. Not the next night. Not a week from now. The same night you trying to avoid me, I'm coming to you. And he caught him by himself. Somebody tonight. Somebody today. Is it a nighttime moment with the Lord? The Lord has not caught you. The Lord just decided to catch you then. Because you can't outrun it. You can't outjump him. You can't outleap him. You can't even go back. He's there. Can't go to the side. He's there. Can't go forward. He's there. He just decided to stop you before you do more damage to yourself. You thought you got a good plan, Jacob. Let me send my stuff over because I really care more about my stuff than I do even about myself. So I care about my stuff. Let me send that stuff over, and now I'm left with the Lord. Here comes now a decisive challenge. We got some desperate circumstances all of us are in, but here comes a decisive challenge. Texas Taylor teaches us something here. That a man comes to Jacob and start wrestling. I'm going to try again. At night, in the dark, by himself, a man comes and start wrestling with him. This ain't the first time Jacob got attacked. This is just the first time Jacob couldn't see who's attacking. See, he done wrestled with Esau. He's wrestled with Laban. If you really read the text, he done wrestled with them wives. But this wrestling match is one he didn't create. He don't have a trick for this because this one chose him instead of him choosing that. Text says a man. God comes in the form of a man. God came to Abraham as a traveler. He's coming to Jacob as a man, as a wrestler. Isn't it amazing how God will come to you in the very way you fighting God? I'm going to try that again. God will come to you in the very manner of the of why you're fighting him in the first place. Jacob has been wrestling and tricking for 20 years. Isn't it amazing how a trick and a wrestling match comes to Jacob? I'm going to try that again. Isn't it amazing that he's been setting folks up for 20 years? 20 blessings. He's been setting folks up. But it don't feel too good when you get set up. And somebody under the sound of my voice today, in your feelings, because you're under a sovereign setup. God has set you up. No more tricks. No more games. No more schemes. No more plots. It's you and God. But you still got some trickster in you. You still got some wrestling in you, don't you? So even though Jacob doesn't know who he's fighting, who he's wrestling, he still wrestles. Okay, I'm going to try again. Somebody came for him, so he's coming back for them. He don't know this man. They ain't had no introductions. Ain't no referee. In this corner, here come Jacob. In this corner, here come a man. There was none of that. All we know is the man came and started wrestling. Jacob's like, what then? He goes back and wrestle him. And they wrestling all night long. Because, see, the trickster in us is so deep. The trickster in you and I go so far back. That's how long it's going to take for the Lord to conquer you. It's not about the fact, because Jacob could have easily said, you know, could have easily just lost. But he got too much trickster in him. He's so much in himself that he's not going to give in. Even if he's being whooped. The Lord has whooped us. The Lord has shown you, you can't beat me. You can quit me, I ain't gonna quit you. You can deny me, I'm still there. You can say I don't exist, I'm still God. You can say I ain't gonna bless you, you still got a house. You can't beat him, but you keep trying. I know what I do, I go join another church. I know what I do, I go get another ministry. I know what I do, I go get another job. Because here is the difference between who's gonna get the glory and who's gonna get the credit. And Jacob is now having to have a wrestling match with God, and it lasts all night. Now, here's what you got to understand about God. This is where you understand God's mercy. Because God is God. He could zap you. Oh, I'm going to try again. Y'all don't mind if I try again? The Lord is God. And you know by now, we know historically, we're no match for God. What's Jacob's problem? Dude, you really think you can beat the Lord? Here's why I'm going to help Jacob out. He didn't know initially it's the Lord. But you and I know it's the Lord. And still got the nerve and the gall to fight him. Still got the nerve and the gall to resist him. Go forgive him. I ain't doing that. Get serious. I ain't doing that. Put that down. I ain't gonna do that. Get along with folks. I ain't doing that. Daily, weekly, wrestling with God. You got his word. You hear his word. You share his word. You receive his word. And still fight him. And you know you can't beat him. Jacob didn't know who was wrestling with him. You know who's wrestling with you. And think you're going to beat him. And God has a right. And the ability to kill your dead. Because he's God. But you got to understand something about God. God's not fighting with you. God's fighting for you. Even. Can I minister this? Even if he got to hurt you. He will fight you to win you. He will hurt you to help you.
He will break you to bless you.
Because he's God. He'll let you go through seasons of suffering because you think that you don't need suffering. Because you'll think you're too good for this and too good for that. He'll fight you. And the longer you wrestle with him, the longer you're going to realize, I can't beat him. Notice now, this is wrestling, not warfare. Because it's an unfair match from the get-go. The man wrestles with Jacob. And Jacob's so caught up in Jacob that he just ain't gonna give in. And somebody in this house today, you just won't give in. You just won't do what God says do. You keep trying to trick and fool and plot and scheme around God. But sooner or later, you gotta have a contest with God. Because somebody's got to understand something. Can I pass to y'all? Sometimes it's not about, this ain't about your stuff. It's about your soul. And you know what's interesting? In the first part of chapter 32, Jacob prayed, Lord, deliver me. Try again. He prayed, Lord, deliver me. So the Lord said, I'm going to deliver you because ultimately, my friends, Esau is not Jacob's problem. Jacob's problem was God. Being at odds with Esau is a reflection that you're at odds with God. Having unresolved issues with people, unresolved issues in this world, shows, really reveals where you are with God. Yeah. And on your way to scheme and try to see how you can get Esau to be all right with you, what about the God who blessed you back at Bethel? I didn't come to entertain y'all. I didn't come to entertain you, so y'all can, I understand all the looks and disposition, I understand it, but I didn't come to entertain you. Because somebody in here is wearing themselves out, thinking that you can trick and fool an omniscient God. And you're wrestling. It's called a struggle. And you think it's the devil is your problem. You've already been given victory over the devil when you got saved. But since you've been saved, what your struggle is? It's with the God in you. God has told you what to do, and you just don't want to do it. He's told you how you need to grow up, just don't want to do it. You can be in the same wrestling match and have different opponents because you're wrestling over the same thing. What is your jabbok? And they wrestle all night long. And the Lord said, you know what? I admire somebody who can fight like this. That means, Jacob, you've been looking out for yourself for a long time. You've been fighting so long, you don't know how to let go. You've been trying to figure out your life for so long that you don't even know how to let go. Somebody's been looking for God for so long that now when you find him, you don't even know how to accept him. Because you've been using your instincts to get by in every area of your life. So the Christian life is totally opposite to what God requires us to do. Because in the world, you're supposed to fix it yourself, do it yourself, be it yourself. And as a Christian, you got to trust him for everything. That totally goes against your mind. So he asked him, he says, what's your name? My name is Jacob. Now, you know, it's got to be a pretty tough match to talk to each other, too. It's pretty tough to be in a wrestling match and then y'all have a conversation. He says, my name is Jacob. Text says, while they're struggling, God through that man says, he strikes him in the hollow. Strikes him right there in the hip. Understand something now. I'm about to make you mad, madder. You already are. Because it's not so much that the Lord struck him. It's where. Because if he strikes him in the hollow, you have no more strength. Because with your hip, that's in the mid portion of your body, you can stand. You got your stability. So God hit him where it hurt, where you can't stand against me. He let stuff happen in Jacob's life to let him realize you don't call as many shots as you think you do. And some of us think, okay, you so smart, I'm going to hit you in your education. You think you don't need me? I'm going to hit you in your finances. Oh, you got family? You got all these people? I'm going to hit you with a loss. I'm going to hit you where it hurt. Because Jacob has always been able to trick people and run. But if you trick people now, you got to go with a limp. That's all wrong with us. He done struck us. And you're trying to find a way to not look like you limping. You're hurting. You're broken. You're burdened. You're afflicted, but you won't admit it. You'll just keep on wrestling. What would Jacob do wrestling on one leg? I'm going to hit you to bless you. If I let you stay whole, you're going to think you're doing it. So I'm going to send you what Paul would call a thorn in your flesh to prevent you from being prideful and thinking that you all that. I didn't come to church to show you I'm perfect. I came to show you scars today. That there are places in my life I'm hurt, broken, afflicted, but I'm living off the strength, not of my own, but off the strength of the Almighty God. Because I had sense enough to learn years ago, submit. Give in to him. Let him be my God. Let him be my Savior. Let him be my peace. I'm not trying to, you know what, I'm going to tell y'all something. Never again am I going to try to figure out my own life. Why would I do that and not put it in his hands in the first place? And some of us, your testimony is, he had to whoop you to win you. What's your name? Don't worry about my name, man. Don't worry about my name, man. Your name is no longer Jacob. Because Jacob is the trickster. I now call you Israel. You are a prince who has won with God and people. You ain't going like this. I'm going to take what's wrong with you and make it what's right about you. When the Lord has touched you, he will take what's wrong with you and make it right about you. You will no longer plot, trick, or scheme. But I'm calling you Israel. Because a new name in the Old Testament, a new name gave a new nature. So don't call me Jacob no more if I'm walking in a newness. And just because I'm limping don't mean I'm not living. Lord, okay. 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 Play some soft, ladies. Play some soft. Desperate circumstances. decisive challenge will bring about a definitive change. It's a change that, when I say it's definitive, that means you can't doubt it. You can't deny it. Here's my shout today. For you, it may be your testimony. For you, it may be your healing. What is your sign that you've been with the Lord? For Jacob, it was his limp. Because in weakness, in my weakness, he's made strong in me. Now watch this. The promise God gave him at Bethel, that I'm going to bless you with stuff and people and generations. You are part of something I'm blessing. I got a promise with you. Now, God never told him you're going to be limping when you get it. He never says you're going to be walking without a limp. He just says you're going to have it. Who knew what you had to go through to get to that promise? But is your promise worth it? And I still got the limp a little bit. The limp is not a sign of what hurt you. The limp is a sign of who kept you. Because at that moment, God could have gotten rid of it. Here's what I love about this text. God didn't find Jacob in his best moment. Try again. The Lord didn't find Jacob at Jabbok in his best moment. He had just got through tricking, just got through plotting, just got done scheming, and saved his life, even if he had to hurt him. Even if he had to hurt him, even if he had to hurt him, do y'all hear God? Even if he had to hurt him, it was to help him. So he's walking with a limp, but he's got the promise. I need you today to stop looking for an error-free life. Stop looking for a limp-free life. You got flaws. You got issues. You got stuff. But God came in your nighttime. He sent a Savior in our night to wrestle with us. But you know what Jesus did for us? He wrestled for us that we might be able to walk with a limp and receive the promise. All for Jesus to you. All for Jesus. All for Jesus to you. You're wrestling, but it's going to be a blessing from it. There's a blessing from the wrestling. Stop fighting God. You're not going to win, and you can't win. In the meantime, do you know in that night hour, that man started telling, let me go. Part of that challenge, he said, no, let me go. Just let me go then. But somehow through the night, somebody say through the night. Somehow through the night, Jacob realized this ain't no ordinary wrestling match. I don't know what Esau's plans was. I don't know what Laban's plans was. But this man wrestling me and ain't won't kill me. This man wrestling with me, but he just won't get rid of me. Now remember, this man took hold of me. And now he's asking me to let go. But even though I'm hurting, I'm being helped. Because somehow through this wrestling match, since I got hooked up with this man, I'm stronger than I was before I got into it with him. So he says to the man, I ain't letting go until you bless me.
try that again. I thought this man was your enemy. Now you'll know you're being changed when you don't want to let go of the Lord. And you don't want the Lord letting go of you. Lord, don't let me go until you bless me. It was in the nighttime that Jacob found out it was the Lord. See, it was getting ready to be daybreak. He asked the man, he said, let go. Because, see, when daylight come, people go see you wrestling. And, you know, you don't want people seeing how you struggling with stuff. You don't want people to see you got problems. Daytime is coming, and people go, no, you're not as perfect as you've been portraying to be. You've been telling people you ain't got no problems at home. That you feel good every day. You better let go before day come. Because when day come, everybody go see your business. I need about three people. I'll be number four who will be like Jacob. I'm not letting go until you bless me. I don't care who sees it. I don't care who knows it. I'm not letting go until you bless me. I've been through too much now. I need some help here. Hallelujah. You've been through too much to let go now.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
Daytime coming. People gonna know you're not a perfect Christian. They gonna see your limp when daylight comes. And somebody gotta say, I don't care no more. If people see me limping, but they don't know why I'm limping. I might be limping, but I'm moving. I might be limping, but I'm progressing. And I'm not just limping for no reason. I got a promise that God promised me. And if I got to limp to it, if I got to crawl to it, if I got to scratch to it, I'm going to where God promised me. No more tricks. No more plots. Stop fighting this. All God does is change your name. He calls you to go from sinner to saint. That's it. But if he's got a promise on you and a purpose for your life, you're only going to hurt yourself worse. Trying to fight against him. Because there's a blessing from the wrestling. And I thank God today that in those moments I think I can figure my own life out, he'll let me wrestle with him. And by the time I get through wrestling, I'm so wore out. Not my will. See, that's what we all end up coming back to, don't we? I don't care how we try to figure stuff out and work it out on our own. We all come right back to the same place. Not my will. Your will be done, Lord. And how many of y'all can testify he blessed you right there at the spot when you finally just surrender and release and accept what God is saying to you? And we'll talk about Wednesday. How God's going to take care of Esau while God take care of you now. See, if God will take care of you today, he'll take care of your situation with Esau Wednesday. Amen. Stop putting the cart in front of the horse. Get yourself together with God before you get right with bae, boo, mama, daddy, job, anybody. Get right with God. And God is so much God, he'll help you take care of that. I'm at a point now that if I got to be unpopular to say this, I'll be unpopular. There is no other option but God. Amen. There is no plan B for me. Amen. New Zion, there is no plan B for us. Yes. It's God or nothing. Yes. He's the only plan. Yes. You show me anything but God, I ain't going with you. Nothing else.